Today, the lectionary offers first perhaps the best known teaching of Jesus. His simple sacred words, what the world really looks like from God's vantage point. Emily offers us a reading from Matthew chapter 5. Listen for a word from the Lord.
Seeing the crowds, Jesus went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth, and he taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for so men persecuted the prophets who were before you." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. This past Friday evening, processing the events of another day in Washington, one reporter I heard could not resist a moment of commentary. She said, "We shouldn't be surprised that many in the Senate are now lobbying for several days of floor speeches about the impeachment vote. It's no secret," she said, "that most senators love the sound of their own voices." I promise you, I don't pay him to do that. It's always right on cue. Hi. Voices, voices, voices. So many voices. Politicians love to make big declarations, promise the future, hold forth, pronounce, enounce, orate, harangue, speechify. And then, of course, what follows are the commentators. Oh, so many commentators sound off on every channel and station now, expounding this and that, expatiating, pontificating, upbraiding, lambasting, castigating, remonstrating. Talking heads for saturated ears. Meanwhile, just to spread it around a little bit, lawyers, obscure and blur and shroud and distract and conceal and enshroud and obnubilate. I had to look that one up. Not all lawyers, of course, not talking about the Presbyterian ones, who are witnesses of salt and light in the world of justice, but many lawyers add to the din of confusion. And how about preachers? Jiminy crickets. Who loves the sound of his or her own voice more than those who are paid to speak for God? Preachers endlessly opine, wax homiletical, propound this, declare that, enthuse, moralize, berate, preachify, that's actually a word, philosophize, offering endless discourse, disquisition, oration, recitation, monologue, generally declaring expertise about mysteries well beyond their pay grade. And then there are friends. Friends who love their idle chatter, their chitty chat, their gossip. They love to confabulate and tittle-tattle and muckrake and rap and yak and yap. Edward de Bono, a physician, psychologist, author, he says, you know, these days being right is not too difficult. You choose your perception, you select your information, you leave out what does not suit you, you drag in some general purpose value words, you throw in a sneer or two about the opposition, and suddenly you are a fine fellow who has made a fine speech. Or, to put it another way, this message that points to Christ on the cross, it seems like utter silliness to those who are hell-bent on destruction. But here's the thing, for those on the way to salvation, the cross, it makes perfect sense. This is the way God chooses to work. And work most powerfully, as it turns out. You remember the old words from the old scriptures, I'll turn conventional wisdom on its head, says God. I'll expose so-called experts as crackpots, unquote. So I ask you, where can you find someone truly wise, truly educated, truly intelligent in this day and age? Hasn't God exposed it all as pretentious nonsense? Since the world and all its fancy wisdom never had a clue when it came to actually knowing God. God, in his wisdom, took delight in using what the world considered dumb. Like our preaching, for instance. Used the dumb and silly things to bring those who trust him into a new way, a way of salvation. And so Jews, they clamor for miraculous demonstrations, and the Greeks, they go in for philosophical wisdom, but we go right on proclaiming Jesus, the crucified. Jews treat this like an anti-miracle, and Greeks, they pass it off as absurd and uneducated. But to us who are personally called by God himself, both Jews and Greeks, for us, Jesus is God's ultimate miracle and wisdom, all wrapped up in one. Human wisdom, it's so tiny, so impotent, next to the seeming absurdity of God. Human strength can't even compete with God's weakness. So take a good look, friends. Take a good look at who you were when you got called into this new life. I don't see many of the best and brightest among us, not many influential, not many from high society families. Isn't it obvious that God deliberately chose women and men that the culture overlooks and even exploits and abuses? Chose these nobodies to expose the hollow pretensions of all the somebodies. So this makes it quite clear that none of us get by with